Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, the 21st day of January, 2022. I had a lot of meetings today, and a couple of times I had to write the date out. And I don't know about you folks, but 21 days into January, you're looking at February, how quickly the time is going. And it's almost as if we're caught in some sort of time warp. And speaking of time warp, I'm going to take you back a little ways. It's sad to announce, you know, there are people obviously who pass away and who are close to us, but then there are musical icons, you know, Frank Sinatra, for example. You maybe like him. Elvis Presley died, of course, 77, and unexpectedly. And then there's Meatloaf. Meatloaf. He passed away. The funny story about Meatloaf. Now, Mr. Ade, his real name, of course, had his name changed, I think, twice. But that aside, he's known as Meatloaf in the music industry. But if you haven't heard the story about him as a teenager in Dallas, Texas, on the day that President Kennedy got shot. And Eric the Tech, you know Meatloaf, right? You know him.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course, Eric the Tech's got his mouth full again.
And I'll never stop dreaming of you every night of my life. No way. And I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. But I won't do that. No, I won't do that.
Will you raise me?
Oh, that was a great duet, too, by the way. Yeah. So Meatloaf passed away at the age of 74. He did have some health problems, but I was talking about, I was watching an interview he did, again, Dallas, Texas, when President Kennedy was assassinated, and he was driving with a couple of his high school buddies there, and the Secret Service actually commandeered his vehicle. Did you know that? To the hospital, took it to Parkland.
No.
Yeah. It incredible story. About being in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time. It doesn't really matter. But as a matter of fact, and I don't want to get too deep into this reminiscing, but there was one when I was working in cases in New York City, and this is back in the 90s. Laura Branigan. I don't know how many people remember Laura Branigan. I'm not even going to ask Eric the Tech because, you know. But her husband was an attorney, and her husband passed away from cancer, and she passed away from a blood clot. But I had the occasion to meet Laura Branigan at her house, for as well as her husband. But this is back a number of years ago. And there was some conversation there about some different stuff. I mean, it was an interesting meeting. Again, I'm reminiscing now like an old guy. But the topic of that Meatloaf being in Dallas at that time came up during that conversation. It was an interesting conversation. I'll just tell you that. We lost a lot of interesting people, of course, in the last especially over the last couple of years, but in the last couple of decades. But I don't know why. But again, if you didn't hear the news, Meatloaf. And of course, Louis Anderson passed away as well. Neither, of course, are COVID related. And speaking about that, speaking about the coronavirus or the COVID, one of the meetings I had today was with a very, 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 very esteemed medical professional in my area. And he's been a medical professional. I mean, he's forever. Okay. And folks, there's something coming. There's two things here. There's something coming that's much worse than what's already here. I don't know whether it's some sort of hemorrhagic fever. I don't know if it's some variant of some bioweapon or a bioweapon. But heads up. Heads up. Now, I don't say that lightly, and I've heard this. I've heard this from others. I've heard this many, many times. I've heard this anecdotally, and I've heard this by people who are saying, look, I've talked to this person. Well, let me talk to that person. Can't do that. So this is as pretty much as close to the source as anyone I think can possibly get. I'll just leave it right there. There's something else coming. And yes, this SARS-CoV-2 was an bioengineered bioweapon by, just as we've often said, by the medical industrial intelligence complex. And it's international in scope. It didn't come from China. Well, that's where it was let loose in the wild. It was developed in part here in the United States. And I know I'm not telling you anything you don't already know.
The CDC virus.
Right, the Center for Disease Creation, CDC. And the rough part about this is, I don't have any good news for you. I don't have any good news for you. I really don't. When I was speaking with or listening to, I shouldn't say speak, listening to these individuals, different meetings, different parts of the day about the same or virtually the same topics. They want to get this information out, and they want this information out in a big way. And we're working on something. I'm just going to leave it at that. And people might say, well, get it out because you could, you know. I understand the risks. But also, you've seen, everyone has seen, have they not? When you come out with information that doesn't comport with the CDC, FDA, or the, you know, I am science, Mr. Friggin' Garden Gnome Fauci science, right? The type of takedown of the information. So it's got to be bulletproof. And I know Project Veritas gets criticized for this. Well, we're going to have a release tomorrow. And that there were reasons behind all of this, all of these tactics. And you also have to have, dead man switches and all sorts of things. If you care about living and care about your family. And let me tell you another thing too. I've heard some things about families being threatened today. Threats are real. And then on the other side of things, the patriots out there, you know, people say, well, no one's doing anything. I guarantee you they are. Oh, they are. And I'm speaking from the heart and kind of, I don't know, spontaneously, I suppose. None of this, I don't have any of this scripted. But I can tell you this. There are groups of people, individuals, groups, and bigger groups and smaller groups who know what's going on. They know what's going on. People that you wouldn't look twice at. People that you would see walking down the road, thinking, oh, you know, hey, look at that guy, right? And, you know, he's just, no, you have no idea. There are people putting some things together. And I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I can tell you this, there are a lot of people saying, I ain't putting up with this crap anymore. More than I thought. So is that a good thing? Eric the Tech, do you think that's a good thing? This being Friday and It's a free-for-all Friday. Do you think that's a good... Knowing that there are people out there who are saying, wait a minute, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. We've got to do something. And here's what we're doing. And what they're doing is they're fixing on fighting. Is that a good thing?
I wouldn't say it's a good thing, but what other option is there?
That's a good question. I don't know. And you know, for all of the keyboard warriors out there, the people who post on forums, the people who post comments on our videos, hey, post away. It's fine. But if you think you know it, if you think you are the smartest person in the room, I guarantee you, you're not. And if you think you really know what's going on, guarantee it, you really don't. I was kind of surprised a number of times by what I saw, what I heard today. It's going to require some soak time for me to really kind of comprehend, you know, how is this going to play out? Because here's the thing. People are sick and tired of the crap that's going on right now. They're sick and tired of the leaders. They're sick and tired of I don't care if it's a school board. I don't care if it's a local, your mayor, your township supervisors. They're tired of you guys. They're absolutely tired of you thinking that you're better than they are, than we are. And that you get to tell us what we're supposed to do. I'm telling you, this is not going to end well, and it's not going to end well really soon, sooner than you think. In the 2022 midterms coming up, people planning for that? Well, I don't know what to say. You want to plan for the 2022 midterms? God bless you. You think it's going to be any different using the same machines, the same tactics, the same people? If there's no demonstrable change, then you got your head so far up your, you know, behind that even a proctologist wouldn't be able to help you. And they know this. People know this. People are sick and tired of this. I want to play Neil Oliver right now. This is something that you need to hear now. I was trying to find, again, I go through hours upon hours of video snippets, video reports, news reports, trying to find how I could distill things down in a very short period of time where you get the most information out of what I go over. So if I'm going to do 10 hours of research for 30 minutes of discussion, I want that to be the best of the best. So when you leave or when you're done listening, you can say, wow, okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Based on everything I've seen and heard and done, again, over the last 24 hours, and speaking of done, I'm going to take a minor digression here. I'm going to thank the fine friends. Am I allowed to say this about savethem.org, the information we got? Am I allowed to say this, disclose this? Do we know? Okay. Hang on a minute. What's that? Be broad. Don't be specific. Okay. This just came in this morning. Let me just get this. Talk amongst yourselves, right? All right, here it is right here. You know that since the passing of Russ Dizdar, and of course Shelley, and the disruption of that to the team, the team has doubled down. And I'm so, praise God, I'm so thankful to be part of the team. A team that fights the satanic child abuse. And by that, I mean the complete definition of satanic. But also the human trafficking side, the child trafficking side. This, as of this morning, about 9 o'clock this morning, we've uncovered a multinational child trafficking ring involving both road and air transport. We have physically rescued 7 children between the ages of 6 and 9 years old. We've also apprehended 1 transporter I'm trying. You can see I'm trying not to be specific here. This is national and international in scope. None of the children have any papers whatsoever, identifications, nothing to identify them. They don't exist. This report goes on to say there are many puzzle pieces that need to be assembled on this one, and need things have to be networked back. But these children were destined to be trafficked to people who use them as sex toys and then discard them in ways that you don't want to know. These are the people that are working right now. People, SaveThem.org is the organization, is the point organization on this. They do great work. Of course, had the gentleman in the office here, Landon from SaveThem.org, and working closely with that team. And I'm going to tell you, some of the worst people you've ever seen running these children out there. It's just absolutely incredible. So praise God, seven young people. Young girls, 7 to 9 years, or 6 to 9 years old, that technically don't exist. And one bad guy. That's where your support goes, by the way. We do support, and we do work. We do field work, and that's where your support goes. All right. And by the way, earlier, the recording with Steve Quayle and Jesse, who was working on the Glyph Project in Antiquities, the director of Antiquities at 4gen6.com. It's amazing how those antiquities, the angelic languages, pre-Adamic angelic, or even some might call them alien languages, how they are being used today. We've seen that today. In fact, Russ and myself had submitted some writings, and it's just amazing what is shown. So pretty deep. And I so that's the granular level details will come out in the fundraiser, the Money Bomb fundraiser that Steve and I are putting on. Okay, so, but I just want to let you know about that. And if you want any information about that, just go to HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman, HagmanReport.com, click on the fundraising banner, and you'll see how you can get that information at the granular level. Is it important to know? No. Does it help you? Yeah. It's valuable information, worth much more than the support. But anyway, all right. I want to play this from Neil Oliver, because if anything sums it up, it meaning where we're at, take a listen to this. This again, Neil Oliver, let me just grab this, make sure I've got the right one. This is a message from Neil Oliver, and it hit me. It hit me quite hard. Listen carefully. Play it again. The link will be in the link to the entire video will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Watch it, listen to it. And I urge all of his videos, listen to all of them, watch all of them. But this one in particular, this message should resonate where we're at right now with you as to where we're at right now, and precipitate in part of what yet is to come. Go ahead.
Now, do you remember those magic eye pictures that were all the rage for a while, in the 1990s especially? At first glance, each looked like a random computer-generated two-dimensional image, like mad wallpaper. But if you looked at one for a while and squinted a bit, suddenly a three-dimensional image seemed to leap forward. Once you got the trick of it, you could do it every time and reveal the picture within the picture. And each time you saw the hidden image, it was almost impossible to unsee it without closing your eyes. There are other patterns now all around us, and you don't need magic eyes to see them. Remember, months ago, I forget exactly when, presidents and prime ministers all over the world started talking about Build Back Better. Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, Boris Johnson, Tony Blair, Jacinda Ardern, and many more besides. It was repeated like a mantra by Sadiq Khan, Prince Charles, Prince William, Greta Thunberg, Bill Gates, and Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, all of them inserting that same three-word phrase into their speeches as often as possible. The same characters also talked at every opportunity about a narrow window of opportunity opened and made available by the pandemic. The narrow window provided, they said, a once-in-a-lifetime chance to reset the world so as to save us from ourselves, save us from future pandemics, from climate crisis, from famine, from all the bad ouchies they could think of. Watching and listening to them, it was hard not to think there had to be a script somewhere, a memo that had been circulated among our dear leaders to ensure they were all on the same page at the same time. As I said at the top, once you notice it, which is to say the repeating pattern, the regurgitating of seemingly rehearsed words, shoehorned awkwardly into every public utterance, you can never again overlook it. What has actually formed, at least it seems to me, is a pattern made of leaders and prominent figures carefully and obediently repeating the same message, as though singing in a choir and harmonising with one another. I don't think that anything remotely like this has ever happened before. In the last few days, I've noticed another apparent merging of messages, a seeming synchronising. The actual words varied, but the meaning and intent was unmistakable. First, I noticed Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, telling a television audience that unvaccinated people were likely also to be misogynists and racists. He actually offered his opinion, while sober and in the full glare of publicity, that fellow Canadians who were hesitant about an experimental medical procedure were likely to hate women and black people. And so my ears pricked up. Next, I read the quotes from a recent interview with French President Emmanuel Macron, in which he said unvaccinated people were irresponsible and that irresponsible people were not citizens. Not citizens. Think about that. I looked up citizen in a dictionary just to be sure and found the word defined as describing a legally recognised subject of a state. Macron said he wanted to make the lives of the unvaccinated, those non-citizens, as unbearable and unlivable as possible. He said he wanted to pee them off. A French president who says the unvaccinated are not citizens is skating on thin ice over deep, dark water. Such a comment is close, I would argue, to saying the unvaccinated are lesser people, that they're not proper people, not proper French people, at the very least, not people deserving to be treated as equals. That's murky water. Dangerous ground for all people, and not just serving presidents of modern, allegedly democratic countries sat upon centuries of bloody internecine strife. And then, bumbling and fumbling in the wake of Trudeau and Macron, came our own Boris Johnson. He said, I want to say to the anti-vax campaigners, the people who are putting this mumbo-jumbo on social media, they are completely wrong. Anti-vaxxer is a disgraceful label. Many people, double and triple vaccinated among them, have questions they want answered. Some of the same people and more besides have particular and special concerns about the vaccination of children against a disease that poses them negligible threat. And yet, according to the words of leaders around the world, such people are next door to idiots, racists and misogynists. They are next to non-people. A letter signed by MPs, doctors and scientists is, as I speak, being sent to the JCVI, asking them to look again at the rollout of the vaccine to children. This morning on GB News, Brent Taylor, Emeritus Professor of Community Child Health Care at Great Ormond Street Institute of Child Health, voiced concerns about how quickly the vaccine has been produced with limited testing. He said that while the risks were still unknown, he felt they were sufficiently severe to demand a rethink of the policy. I presume Boris Johnson must dismiss this letter and this opinion from a learned authority on child health as more mumbo-jumbo. The opinion of Dr. Robert Malone, inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology and also an avowed opponent of vaccinating children against COVID, must presumably be similarly disregarded by our Prime Minister. Mumbo-jumbo is an 18th century word, coined to dismiss as childish nonsense the religious beliefs of the Mandinka people of West Africa. So the implication to be drawn from Boris Johnson's pronouncement is that British people, law-abiding citizens who have been and remain hesitant about an experimental medical procedure, are to be dismissed as no more than ignorant children, little people who ought better, we might presume, to be taken in hand and taught otherwise for their own good. just before Christmas, Tony Blair, excuse me, Sir Tony Blair, Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Garter, labelled the unvaccinated idiots. He said, frankly, if you're not vaccinated and you're eligible and you've got no health reason for not being vaccinated, you're not just irresponsible, I mean, you're an idiot. I'm sorry, I mean, that is, truthfully, you are. So there we have it. All within days, as though on cue, those who have chosen not to take an experimental medical procedure made available only under the terms of emergency use authorization and for which there is as yet no data regarding long-term effects are, according to world leaders past and present, childish idiots full of mumbo-jumbo, are likely to hate women and black people, are not citizens of the French Republic built on foundations of freedom and equality, and fit only to suffer being peed off by the government paid for by their taxes. All of those parts seen together do not a pretty pattern make. Many of us notice patterns. We can't help it. It comes with being descended ultimately from hunters. We live in a 21st century world of fast-moving technology, but our brains are still running hunter software. When you live in a dangerous, wild world populated by threats great and small, you're more likely to survive if you notice and pay attention to patterns.
There it is.
Patterns suggest things that, at the very least, are worth watching to see if they might reveal a hidden danger. What amazes me is the apparent clumsiness of all those presumably clever people taking the same tack, even parroting the same words, following what feels like a script, all together, at the same time, and in plain sight. They might as well be wearing matching jumpers, like the away team sent from the Starship Enterprise to explore a strange new world. I mean, precisely when you might think they'd wear camouflage and seek to blend in, they're sticking out like sore thumbs, like the erstwhile hidden image in a magic eye picture, okay. You might say.
You can get the remaining moment or two on HagmanReport.com. The link will be there, of course. Now, he was talking about the patterns, okay, especially the jab, and of course the foundation of Build Back Better, and he did mention something that I really think is a good, I guess it would be an analogy, looking at a picture, you know, the hidden pictures and pictures, and you look at it and you have to stare at it and finally you find it, and you know, it's hard not to see it again when you look at that picture. Now, I was never very good at that, but one thing I am good at is pattern recognition. And so that whole discussion was talking about, he was talking about, of course, creating this, I would call it a race. Some like to say, well, and I know this is very pejorative to some people. Well, I'm a pure blood, okay? I know that sounds pejorative to those who received the jab. And a lot of people don't like that. All right. But that aside, there's a reason for all of this. And this goes back to my meetings earlier today, one in particular talking with this very esteemed medical professional who said that there's a lot wrong with things. I mean, more than you know, this is bigger than anyone can comprehend, whether it involves the hospital systems, the entire medical system of the West, but specifically with the United States, the takedown of this system, the surveillance of the public by way of the medical system, the creation of a global social credit score, but ultimately the creation of digital currency that will control everything that you do, that you buy, that can be turned on or turned off. That's the big picture here. That's what we're looking at. I wanted to play, is Austin on? All right. I'm not going to take away the time from Austin. I wanted to play the transhumanists want to digitize your baby's brain. This, of course, you've heard me talk about Jamie Farrar, the head of Welcome Leap. You've heard me talk about this before. Welcome with two L's, Welcome Leap. Jamie Farrar would be almost like the counterpart, the British counterpart to a Fauci. All right. The we can see working backwards like a crime scene. When you get to a crime scene of a crime of a, think of a murder that's already happened, and you arrive on the scene and you see the body, you see the murder weapon, perhaps you see the broken window, broken door, the tracks going in and out, whatever you might see as clues. So you're working from that point to the event horizon as an investigator. That's how you, because obviously you weren't there, right? If you were, I got some questions for you. But so you're working this like an investigation. And you're looking at all of the clues, the evidence that were left there from the perpetrator. And I'm a believer in, there's a name to this, but you know, there's a transfer. Anytime there's anytime someone comes into a room, leaves a room, they always deposit something in the room. In other words, transfer DNA, whatever it might be. There's always a transfer. So, but aside from that, but that's important when we're looking at this bigger crime scene of what's going on globally. Everything that we're seeing here is going to a much larger biblical end. And a big part of this too is, I mentioned earlier about the children, 6 to 9 year olds, 7, that were saved. And you know what the worst part of that is that I didn't say before? These children with absolutely no identities were caught as they were being transported to a major airport hub in a hub city. I want you to think about that. How many people have to be aware of or be complicit in something like this in order to make this happen? If you apply that to the crime scene that is this today, you will see that this is much larger in scope than look, you can watch Fox News all day. You can watch all of these shows all day long. But it really never gets down to the very epicenter of what's taking place. And the vastness and the, I'll use the word satanic agenda that's at play here. It's not just about masks and, we're an N95 or surgical cloth mask. No, stand six feet. It's not just about that. No, that's just chaff. It's important, but it's chaff. Kind of shows you the morons among us, but I digress. But anyway, but this is much bigger than people realize. And Austin Brower last night and I were having a dialogue, and I want to continue that dialogue. Austin has a lot of great stuff to say. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, if you're not taking Health Masters, you're missing out. Go to healthmasters.com right now. Right now, get your ultimate multiple. Get your immune package. You can go down to CVS, Walmart, Kmart, Aldi's, I don't know where, and get junk. I'm not saying everything's junk, but this stuff to me is like the best of the best of the best. I take this, my family take this. I insist my family takes this. The vitamin C, D3, K2. The support kit is just phenomenal. And they even have food buckets and other things. Spend some time at healthmasters.com. Go shopping there. They even have the product of the week. The magnesium. Oh my goodness. You want to fight off brain fog? Oh boy, this will do it. So seriously, go to healthmasters.com. And while you're there, click on the blue button, because Austin's been talking about a specific topic during the Ted and Austin Brower show a couple of days this week. And we're going to continue that discussion now. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Austin, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing blessed. Great to be on the show again with you. And yeah, we were having a discussion last night in detail on some topics, and I want to get into that in a second. But one thing I wanted to bring up, because I just saw this the other day, it just came out, I think, last night or the day before, with the bobblehead Fauci, and he was going exactly what you're talking about with them going after the young children. Now, an issue that has arose, and we've continually brought this up, is the experimental injecting of this RNA technology into children, this RNA gene therapy. There's never been any type of significant clinical trials to actually figure out what this is going to do to these children, you know, as they're pre-puberty, post, as they develop, as they grow older, when they said that children up to five and older can take the shot. Well, Fauci just came out now yesterday and said that he's talked to Pfizer, and it looks like the FDA is going to be approving the RNA gene therapy Pfizer shot. FDA is going to give it emergency use for ages 6 months to 4 years now, all across the spectrum. And he said that it's relatively safe in the clinical trials that they've done for the last month and a half. I can't even begin to explain to you from a scientific standpoint how unbelievably stupid that comment is, to say that they're injecting now gene therapy into six-month-olds. And yeah, it's totally safe. We know what it's going to do in a couple of years. The thing that makes it even more disturbing, Doug, is they said ages 2 to 4 didn't elicit the immune response they needed with two shots. So 2 to 4-year-olds are going to require 3 shots of the Pfizer jab just to get up to their boosted dosage. This is so far beyond loony land. Now, by the way, to anybody that hasn't done the research, this will make the United States the only country in the entire world that will be injecting six-month-old to five-year-olds with RNA gene therapy. No other country has even really been testing, to my knowledge, on this, because the death rate of children under 5 from COVID is virtually zero. There's no relevancy to it whatsoever. There's been, like, I think a dozen in the entire country, and all of them had serious comorbidities and health problems, and we don't even know the truth if they actually died from COVID or they died with COVID. This is so beyond disturbing that they want to do this, and the very fact that makes it even more disturbing is the fact that parents are actually already getting lined up and want to do it. I found out there's a lady that Lana's friends with out in Orlando, and she signed up her 4-year-old to get enrolled in the clinical trial for the Pfizer shot out in Orlando. Sign them up. Get like a $1,200, you know, gift card, because you're letting them literally experiment on your child with poison. We've seen the past history of what happens when you start pushing certain items, certain compounds, certain drugs through without any type of long-term testing. And it always goes bad every single time. The reason why they're doing this now, and Ted and I called this out a couple months ago, they want to get the COVID shot on the CDC roster for the vaccines, for the childhood vaccines. Currently right now, I think there's 76 or 78 vaccines from 0 to 18 that the CDC recommends. They want to get this COVID shot, which is completely, even if it was a perfectly safe, healthy vaccine, which, I mean, that's kind of an oxymoron, there's still no need for a shot in children that doesn't even do anything other than allegedly protect them for lower symptoms if they get sick, because most children hardly have any symptoms. They have like a runny nose and a sore throat. This has already been a documented, proven fact for the last 2 years. So why are we giving them a shot for something they don't need, for something they have very few symptoms from? Well, the answer is they want to experiment on the children, and take it deeper. They want to experiment on all the children. Once the COVID-19 injection is placed on the CDC recommended shot schedule roster, it will then be covered under full blanket immunity from the 1986 Act, preventing anybody from ever being able to sue Pfizer for anything that's happened with this injection. It doesn't just mean with children. It's blanket immunity retroactively. The only way you can get compensation is to go to the vaccine court which has paid up, I think, over $4 billion now in taxpayer money, I might add, to people who have been severely injured from the injection. You literally have to get an attorney, you have to go to court, and you have to prove for years that you were substantially injured or your child was substantially injured from this injection that they got. Most of the cases never see the light of day. They just go into a rabbit hole and never show up. And the ones that do actually get settled, they may give them $1 million or $500,000 because, yay, guess what? Your child now is severely autistic. Sorry, we'll give you $500,000 of taxpayer money to shut you up. This was the goal all from the beginning. Once they get this shot on the roster, it's full immunity for Pfizer. That means it does not matter how many people die, how many people they mandate, and how many people get sick from this shot. They're going to have full immunity, even if they want to go and stick this into these young children. And they know it's going to cause issues with myocarditis and pericarditis, as we're clearly seeing. They do it anyways. It is crucial, my friends. Listen to me, all of you guys. It is crucial you encourage your friends that may not be awake to use discernment and use wisdom and prevent their kids. If some grown adult wants to go get injected with RNA gene therapy, that's their choice. You're a grown 18-year-old adult. If you want to go be stupid and go get injected with experimental stuff, that's your right. People do stupid stuff all the time. Whatever, not my problem anymore. But when you start doing this to these young children that have no ability to say no or no ability to have any concrete rational thought, and you start injecting them with this stuff, understand there are going to be very severe consequences for the rest of their life. They're going to have to deal with this. This makes no sense other than full experimentation on children and getting this on the shot schedule. But I want to bring that up, Doug, because when I saw this, I got unbelievably mad, to be honest with you. I was so flustered because they're sitting there telling everybody how it's totally safe when we know for a fact it's not safe. And we know for a fact this whole thing's a lie. You got England now completely backpedaling and doing a 180 on all of their vaccine mandates, on mask mandates, on work mandates, on lockdown mandates. And obviously we know there's something more nefarious going on behind the scenes.
I want to know your take on why. Okay. I had a conversation yesterday. There's two issues. The topic that you're talking about, the jabs, but this Great Britain thing. What's that about? Well, okay, we're going to go back to normal all of a sudden. Because to me, looking at that, I'm thinking, what, did they reach their quota? Did somebody call up Boris and say, hey, Boris, it's okay now. We got the number we were looking for. You can back off. And he's fine, we'll back off. What's going on with that? There's something not right here. Go ahead.
There's something very not right. Obviously, you can smell the trash out in the yard and it's burning. There's something very nefarious going on behind the scenes. There's a couple options, and Ted and I have been trying to rack our brains and talking to people all over, trying to get an idea with other people that are in the know that have connections on what's going on. They're using a lot of it. They're trying to use the, oh, well, they were going to basically remove Boris out of office and he got scared. No. Okay. There's obviously, they have put way too much time and effort into getting this stuff out there. You have, I think 88% of the population has had at least one injection now in England. So you have a huge percentage of their experiment that has already got this shot now. B, you're getting an enormous amount of pushback. You're talking millions of people are marching on Parliament on a regular basis and protesting all these mandates and all these shots. They're running the algorithms and they realize people are not okay with this. They're starting to get very, very angry and they're starting to get a lot of pushback. Remember how we've always seen this over the years where they'll push us four steps and then they'll take a step back. They push us four more steps and then they take a step back. I think what they're doing is now they're getting lined up for something else to occur and they're trying to get everybody calmed down and, hey, we won. Everything's going back to normal now. Everything's great. But lo and behold, there's something very more nefarious, whether or not it's another bioweapon like we talked about on the last show, is something they're brewing up in China again, or if they have some type of new idea, new world order lockdown that's going to be put into place. But I've encouraged everybody to be very, very awake about what's happening over the next couple months, because the narrative, we talked about on the last show in detail, the narrative's pretty much gone with COVID. I mean, when you start coming out with articles like the Delta Plus variant back in November, December, and it's a symptomless variant, I mean, they literally said that this is a symptomless variant now. You get it, but you don't even know you get it because it's a symptomless COVID. I mean, really, guys? And we're supposed to go get injected with RNA gene therapy because of that? People are not okay with the lockdowns. People are not okay with the strict restrictions. People have had enough. And the algorithms always produce a specific outcome. They look at everything from the texts to the emails to the social media. All that stuff is data logged. That's what the giant systems for with the NSA system out in Utah. They probably have looked at it now, and they've run an algorithm spread, and it's showing that there's a significant amount of people that are starting to push back, and the narrative's starting to dissipate. So they're going to have to come up with a new boogeyman here in the next couple months, because as you remember, we've always had this boogeyman that they have to create. You know, all the way back from 9/11, we had Al-Qaeda. You know, Saddam Hussein, we had to go overthrow him. And we had the Middle East terrorism that, you know, lasted about, excuse me, that lasted about, you know, what, 10, 12 years constantly over there, the constant boogeyman with the constant war until we got full control of the Middle East. Then to turn around, and, ISIS popped back up. And then we had Trump was the boogeyman for a while, and Trump was the bad, you know, Mr. Man, the big yellow man. Then we had COVID show up, and COVID's been the big bad boogeyman. It's been 2 years now. They know that it's run its course, and they have to come up with something new. And the vast majority of people have gotten the injection in England, which was the overall goal. Whatever is so nefarious in that shot, they got people to accept it. And now people will be more susceptible over the next coming years to accept more and more and more tyranny over their lives because they complied so much with what happened with the lockdowns, with the mask mandates, and they didn't say no. People are going to be much more susceptible now to accept more lockdowns, more restrictions, more carbon taxes, more things for the greater good. But they have to give everybody a break for a little bit to catch some air for us to calm down and then start loading it and ramping it back up again. And I think that's exactly what they're doing in England. In the United States, we're not seeing that. We're still seeing these absolutely erroneous, moronic mandates that they're doing. With the mask on planes is still the funniest thing to me that I've ever seen in my life. I saw an article yesterday, a plane took off, Boeing 777 took off out of Miami, headed for Heathrow, London Heathrow. And the lady on the plane, I guess they got over the waters, and she's like, I'm not going to wear a mask anymore. And basically peacefully sat there and said, I'm not wearing a mask. They literally were over an hour into their international flight. The pilot turned the plane around and took it all the way back to Miami so she could be escorted off the plane. And it was ironic. The article even says law enforcement did not charge her, nor did they detain her. They simply called it a disturbance call, and she went on her way because she didn't do anything. She literally sat there and said, I'm not going to wear a mask. And they said, you have to wear a mask. No, thank you.
Oh, the idiocy. You know, don't make me turn this plane around. I'm going to turn it around.
Yeah. All right. Well, like we're a bunch of little children in the back seat. Don't make me turn this car around, kids. You. They're literally treating us like we're children now. And the stupidest part about this is numerous scientists have come out now. And they said the mask on planes, especially if you're dealing with the little blue paper mask, which everybody wears, it's totally erroneous. You're breathing recycled air in a pressurized chamber up in the air. Everybody's shoulder to shoulder with one another. There's no aspect of wearing a little blue paper mask that is going to protect you somehow from catching an upper respiratory virus. There's none. But again, they're getting people trained, just like after 9/11. Yep. They got us trained to take off our belts and shoes.
Yep.
People remember that. Once we did that, they said, okay, they're going to accept that. They're going to take their shoes off. They're going to take their belt off. Oh, let's throw a body scanner so we can x-ray them and see them naked with x-ray imaging every time they want to get on the plane. Oh, if they want to opt out of that, we're going to grope them and grab their groin and feel them up because that's what we do. We want to make sure, you know they're peasants and they're being treated like such. Now, you have to wear, and they've said now, there is no foreseeable mask reduction or mask mandate lifting on airlines in the foreseeable future. They said currently now they expect to see this now pretty much forever on planes. You okay. Wear a mask, you shut up, and you do not say anything like a dog with a muzzle.
This whole thing is just crazy. I do want to there's two points I want to make here to what you were saying earlier. And again, the masks are just virtue symbols, virtue signaling. They're they don't, folks, they don't work, okay? They don't work as intended. Now, if you're hawking up loogies and you know, blowing all sorts of spittle all across the room, yeah, okay, it'll collect that, all right? But if that's the case, what the hell are you doing out? Anyway, so, okay. So two things, based on the first part of the program today, I've been told, and with good authority, look, there's something else coming. And there's something else coming. Now, what it is, I don't know. I don't know if it's a bioweapon virus kind of thing. But there's something else coming. I wish I had more information on that. I will be getting more information on that. But right now, not so much. So just kind of put that aside for a moment, because anyone can say that. I get that. But there's something else coming. Kind of like trying to fill in the dots here, fill in the blanks. But here's... with respect to what you said to Boris Johnson, okay, everyone, you know, it's cool. Everyone, go back to where we were. And this is a verified report. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, if the person giving me this information has been in contact with you. Midwest United States, 5G goes on. This was this week. I'm not going to be specific with a lot of information, all right? They turned the 5G network on. And yep. Okay. So it was reported that, hey, it's on. There were people gathered in a specific location near whatever you would call the 5G tower thing, whatever, antenna, I don't know. And two came down with extreme, serious, I mean, get to the hospital nosebleeds. Now, I've had a couple of nosebleeds in my life, not too many, but one... my goodness, one, you know, I thought, you know, hey, man, that's a lot of blood, okay? But this was critically serious nosebleeds. And there was another party in the same group who instantly began having a migraine. Now, look, I don't know. I mean, did this happen? Yes. Did it happen because of 5G? I don't know. I don't know why it happened, but it happened. Is there a causation there? You know, causality? Any comment, any thoughts on that?
Well, we know one of the side effects of microwave radiation exposure is nosebleeds, headaches.
I wanted to add too, and I thought this was a given. Eric Texas corrected me here. The people who suffered the nosebleeds and the migraine, three, all had the initial shots and boosters. Just
booster shots.
To let you know. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I've been talking about it and trying to gather as much information as I can with what is going on with 5G and the shots. They're obviously connected. This wasn't coincidental that the 5G has been rolling out for the last couple of years and the infrastructure is being put into place and all this money. You're talking over $2 trillion has been put into 5G. And when you see that kind of money out of the markets to make your internet a little faster so you can stream video faster on your phone, you know it's BS because you're not spending that much money nationwide with this big an infrastructure to have a little bit faster download speed so you can watch another horrible movie on Netflix. They did it because it's a weapons platform. 5G frequency technology was built originally with the active denial systems. When you start using those weapons platforms, they have the exact same symptoms. You can feel audibly, basically sensory deprivation. Your ears hurt, your eyes hurt, you get headaches, you get nosebleeds, you get nauseous, you get fatigue. That's the side effect from using it. Now, did 5G cause these people to get nosebleeds? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I do know one thing is that if they really is graphene oxide in these injections and they really are turning up this 5G system, graphene oxide adheres to the membranes and goes into the cells. It's metallic. It never comes out of the body again. It's one of the main ingredients in lithium ion batteries. It should never be ingested by humans. It's unbelievably toxic. When the more reports, more scientists keep coming out saying this stuff has graphene oxide in it, at first I was like, why in the world did you put that in a shot? There's no useful purpose to have graphene oxide in that injection. There's no useful purpose to put it in your body, period. Well, you start thinking about everybody's turning on these cell towers, these giant microwave energy cell tower active denial systems. Is it going to start causing a ton of problems in people that have been injected? My opinion, yes. It's highly probable. I know there's a reason why. the 5G towers were virtually unseen everywhere. And then suddenly the lockdowns occur and I start getting emails from people all over the country telling me about how these 5G towers that look like, you know, they've got about a refrigerator sized box on them. There's tons of them all over it. They started popping up left and right. Didn't even know when they came up. Just in the middle of the night, next day, giant 5G tower there. Nobody ever sees anybody work on them for the most part. I've asked guys that are linemen for Tico. And I said, what's the deal with this? Go, we don't touch this. We're not allowed to touch them. They're like forbidden. They're a whole nother separate entity. We can't even get involved with those, period. I'm like, golly, you run power lines. I mean, that's unbelievably dangerous to do. Those towers, we can't touch them. Not supposed to mess with them. Can't get around them. Can't even get called to them, period. They have their own specific set of people that work on them. And so what we're going to start seeing, in my opinion, is more and more and more side effects. And they're going to try to blame it more and more and more on COVID. The COVID narrative is gone. People are going to get colds. People are going to get sick. People are going to die. It's part of life. There's no question about it. And sitting around telling everybody they need to wear a mask and get a shot and stay at home and quarantine. Here's the reason right here why you know COVID was complete and total fallacy as far as the whole premise of doing it. If England turns around right now, for whatever nefarious reason, and they're now saying we're dropping all the mandates. Oh, and by the way, in March, the quarantine mandate, that if you test positive for COVID, you have to stay home and self-isolate. By the way, that expires in March too. So you test positive for COVID, you're not even told to stay home anymore if you don't want to. That right there in and of itself tells you that everything about this has been a complete and total sham and should really wake up a lot of people to at least question the narrative. If anything could just be turned off that fast and all of a sudden COVID no longer is a problem in England, why in the world is it still a problem here? Well, because we have a pandemic of testing. Everybody's testing for every reason. If anybody tests positive at a work site, a job site, everybody now has to go get tested. I had a friend that I talked to yesterday. They basically had their kids were hanging out with a group of kids. And the mom called her up and said, hey, my daughter was getting a head cold. And so we went and tested her. She tested negative in line in one of these testing centers. And she goes, my daughter still wasn't feeling good. So we got a home kit from Walgreens and took it. And now she tests positive for it. And then we took another kit again a couple days later and she tested negative for it again. And she goes, there's no consistency with this. It's like they just have certain ones that are going to test positive and certain ones that are going to test negative. There's people that I've talked to that have been unbelievably sick, coughing, packing up a lung, and they still test negative. This is what the whole end game is. It causes much confusion as much people continue to go out and get a shot they don't need for something that doesn't even matter. And then you tie it into the 5G. So yeah, there's definitely, in my opinion, you're going to start hearing some very strange things starting to occur with this 5G system now starting to roll out all over the country and basically get flipped on, Doug.
Okay. Notice that pregnant pause there. That's a lot to take in. You know, it's a lot to consider. It's a lot to think about. And right before you came on, I played Neil Oliver, you know, watching patterns and looking at this whole thing in a larger perspective. So I think people are beginning now. I think you're right. So I think people are starting to wake up, or at least the ones that are salvageable. Is that even, and I hate to put it that way, but there are some people who are so dogmatic, who are so hell-bent on saying, no, I'm going to take my child there and I'm going to get them jabbed. And, you know, I'm so excited and thank God for science and thank God for St. Fauci and thank God, you know, look.
St. Fauci.
I'm telling you, you know, there are some people that I'm convinced at my age, you can't talk to. You can't change. There's nothing you could do to change their minds. And
no.
So, okay, if that is the case, and because I've talked to physicians, and again, a couple today, one in particular today, and this conversation was, look, I believe in the vaccine, as he called it. I believe in that, and I believe it works, and I believe. And I said, are you open for any kind of discussion about the merits of the jab and about the testing done Are you open for that? He said, absolutely, I'm open. What do you got? Show me. Those people you can talk to. The other people you can't. The other people who for whatever reason, have shut their minds to it. So that brings us to the point now where this kind of overlaps in the dialogue that we had last night. There are people right now who are so over all of this that their businesses have been destroyed, their lives have been destroyed, livelihoods. There's been upheavals in marriages, in family units, and in larger families, schools. I mean, everything. Everything has changed. We're not going to get back to to where we were pre 2019 ever. I don't believe. At least not without some heavy duty bloodshed. That's just me. That's my belief, okay? And I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think, because you're not going to convince somebody who will not listen to facts or will not listen to the other side of the argument. So that's where I'm at. And by the way, folks, healthmasters.com, I cannot speak highly enough about Health Masters. If you're not taking Health Masters nutritional supplements, you're missing the boat. I know you hear me talking about this. I know. But I'll tell you something. I had the pleasure of actually gifting some Health Masters supplements to someone on Russ's team, and it was probably 45 days, it was 5-6 weeks later, I got a note back saying, you know, this stuff is, I can feel the difference. I can actually feel the difference. My breathing's improved. My blood, I just had a blood test. My numbers have improved. Folks, I'm not making any medical claims. I'm just telling you, you want the best, get the best, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And if I twist Austin's other arm that's not broken, maybe he'll put the Doug 5 coupon in. Maybe not. I don't know. What say you?
Yeah, I'll throw it up there for you, Doug. I know a lot of people are excited, too. We just got more of the purple sticks back in stock.
Oh, yeah.
So got a bunch of those. So everybody's excited, been grabbing those. And to go back to what you're talking about, and this is what something we discussed last night. You know, I've continually been asking this question because I haven't had anybody be able to answer it. With this whole insurrection of the Capitol, you know, the violent overthrow of the Capitol building because people walked in, you know, broke a window. And I kept asking, has anybody been charged with weapons charges? You know, felony possession of weapons, you know, possession on Capitol grounds or federal grounds or DC or anything. And I've asked tons of people. Nobody's been able to find any single charge for anybody on a weapons charge in DC. On that day. Now, the funny part about that is you want to talk about an absolute piss poor insurrection. I'm being sarcastic on the people that keep calling it this. You went to overthrow the Capitol and you didn't bring a single firearm with you. And I've been bringing this up. And then suddenly yesterday, the Daily Mail comes out with an article, firearms, a drone, and 30 days of supply. With a weapons cache from Oath Keepers right down the road. And so now they've said, almost 13 months now, that they have now found out that there were a small group of guys at a Comfort Inn in Arlington, Virginia. It's about 6 miles away from the Capitol, that brought supplies and some guns with them. And they were there to overthrow the Capitol, but they didn't do anything. They stayed in the hotel. They didn't actually brandish a weapon. Nobody actually saw them with a weapon. They simply have them on footage rolling in a duffel bag into a hotel room. And so now suddenly the Oath Keepers and the entire narrative is now, oh, they had weapons caches and they had supplies and they had drones and they were planning on taking over the Capitol with force and handing guns off to everybody. But it didn't happen. They, you know, it was stopped. It was stopped. No, it never happened because it didn't happen. Now, did these guys bring some supplies? Were they at a hotel? Did they have some guns with them? Probably. Honestly, more power to them. The Second Amendment's a heck of a right, especially if you exercise it. Is there something wrong with having supplies when you're about to go to a giant protest? Absolutely not. Shoot, I keep supplies in my grab bag that stays in my truck right now. I always have at least 3 days worth of supplies if I have to go out on foot for somewhere or my truck breaks down or anything. So now, suddenly, and it's funny because I've been asking this about the guns And now suddenly there's a group at a Comfort Inn 6 miles down the road that has a duffel bag of guns suddenly 13 months later. And now we know definitely it was a violent insurrection that went to take place. They just failed. They didn't get the guns to them in time. You can't make this crap up, Doug, if you're writing a script for a comedy movie. This has gotten so bizarre now on how they're trying to do anything they can to demonize anyone that is even mildly prepared, mildly armed, or even mildly disappointed that we had an election stolen from a constitutional republic and millions of people went up to the Capitol to display their anger. And you had multiple FBI informants that helped gather groups to get to the front. And you had law enforcement open up the gates and let them in. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, it's a violent insurrection attack on the Capitol building. And it's the worst thing we've seen since 9/11. And it's the Holocaust event all over, like Pelosi said. Now we have a group of guys at a Comfort Inn that had a bag with guns in it. And we definitely know it's going to be a violent insurrection now. This is so far-fetched. And I talked about on our show the other day, the Life magazine. We were standing in line to get something the other day, and Ted grabbed it. It was Life magazine, the top 100 most important photos of all time.
Yeah.
All time. Okay? And so we're in line, and we start flipping through it. And it's all these black and white photos, D-Day. Some of the photos pretty good. And I'm going through it. And all of a sudden, centerfold, double page, both sides, not one page. A lot of photos were getting two photos to a page, black and white. They were so important, they had two photos to a page. Double page spread, full centerfold, color photo of the Capitol building with thousands of people standing on it and around it with MAGA flags. And it says, the attack on the Capitol. And it goes on to have a paragraph talking about how this is the most violent insurrection that has ever been attempted on U.S. soil. And all these people descended on the Capitol to basically try to burn it down and take it over. And I just started laughing. And Dad started laughing. There was this old guy behind us. And I started talking. And you know, I'm very loud when I talk, just how I am. And I'm sitting there laughing intensely. And he goes, are you joking me? I said, no. And I said, notice it's the only color photo in the whole magazine. And I said, here's the funny part. I said, how many people were charged with weapons violations on the Capitol grounds? He said, nobody. How many people got caught bringing in belt-fed automatic light machine guns into the Capitol building and shooting Secret Service? He goes, well, nobody. Pretty piss-poor insurrection, wasn't it? If it was the biggest Capitol battle we've ever seen take place, let's not forget the War of 1812, burned down Washington, D.C. We're just going to forget history. Oh, yeah, this is definitely the worst thing that's ever occurred. They have to demonize the Patriots for standing up and calling out the stolen election. And they're going to do everything they can in the media, just like I talked to you on the show the other day. They're going to rewrite history, and they're going to continue to burn this into everybody's synapses and continue to tell the young children in school every single year about the violent overthrow of the Capitol building and why it's so good that everybody stays peaceful, compliant, and doesn't say anything against the norm, because that's what good peasants do. Unbelievable, Doug. But now we're seeing this whole bull crap that came out now with the Oath Keepers. 13 months later, they had a duffel bag with rifles in it at a hotel 6 miles down the road. And now we definitely know it was going to be a full-blown violent insurrection on the Capitol. Can you make up any more? And I mean,
you know, okay, so I don't know how many people have seen the pictures, the insurrection of the Capitol, all the 9/11 of our time and Pearl Harbor of our time, right? Okay. I'm gonna put a couple of pictures up here. Identify these photographs, ladies and gentlemen, and the feds who are monitoring this program, and the dweebs, the goomers that are watching this show who don't agree. When is this from? Go ahead and picture one. Okay, then one picture, whatever picture comes up then. Go ahead. All right. You know when that was taken? Austin, any ideas the day that was taken?
Not sure. It looks like a BLM Antifa terrorist rally, but I can't tell.
That is the day that Donald Trump was inaugurated. I've got thousands of photographs of buildings being defaced, windows being busted, cars burning, cops getting beat. And the insurrection was on January 6th? No, it was back in 20. It was when Trump was inaugurated. And the real insurrection was the date of the election, when they stopped the counting, when they covered the windows, when they kicked out the observers. That's when this country was taken over. Not this bullshit about some 1/6 disturbance at the Capitol, where the only person that was killed was a young lady that was, hey, she wasn't armed, okay? But, you know, no, no. Yeah, I understand there were people hurt. I understand there was a dust-up. But how much of that was the feds? It was all the feds. Who's Ray Epps? We still haven't heard a good explanation about Ray Epps. And how about Scaffold Man? Who's that guy? Scaffold Commander. Who's that guy? And what about the FBI sweetheart that couldn't answer a friggin' question? I can't answer that, Senator. Yeah, same. I can't answer that, Senator. No, you can't answer it. You won't answer it because you know you got blood on your hands. The real insurrection happened on the day, on voting day, this past voting day, presidential voting day. That's the real insurrection. There's the other picture. That's Trump's inauguration. That's the left. That these are the goomers out there, these transvestites, these perverts, these whoever being supported by Soros and Clinton and others. That's what an insurrection looks like. So save it. And Time Magazine, shove it right up, you know, where it doesn't belong. I'm going to tell you right now, this is why people are sick and tired, and they're going to go out and they're going to start making things right. And you know what? To the people I'm talking to the people who are listening to this, you better understand, okay? You can push people so far, so long, and we're done. It's over. Is that a threat? No, it's an observation. What do you want from me? You know, it's an observation. I'm sick and tired of this, man. And you know, look, people say, well, you're just a big man behind a microphone and the keyboard. Well, I'll tell you what, I guarantee you there's stuff happening out there that you have no clue. Not you, Austin, but the people have no clue what's going on. And I guarantee you there's going to be some big, big surprises coming. You know, okay. And you think you're going to get away? If we make it to the elections of 2022, I want you intellectuals out there, if we do make it to the elections of 2022, I want you to think about the Battle of Athens as opposed to what happened in the last presidential election. And you'll get the idea. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, you're spot on. And you know, the funny part about it is when I've had some of these discussions with people about the Capitol incident, and I said, you know, does everybody else just have short-term memory loss? Does everybody forget 140 cities, entire cities in some cases, downtown areas on fire with BLM and Antifa terrorists throwing Molotov cocktails and improvised explosive devices with mortar, you know, basically mortar charges, firework mortars with nails taped to them at federal agents, burning down entire police departments? 140 cities they hit. You know, they said the Capitol building cost an estimated $1.5 million in damage for January 6th. You know how much they said estimated with all the BLM riots across the country in 2020? Right over $1 billion in property damage. Billion dollars in property damage. With putting entire cities on fire. Oh, yeah, but...
And Heels Up Harris is part of the campaign to make sure that those people get out of jail. They're bailed out. They don't have any, you know, hey, it's like a revolving door. Yet we have political prisoners from 1/6 that no one's talking about. We should go out, and I'm saying we should go and bust them out, for gosh sakes. Why aren't we? Why aren't we busting these people out of jail? Who are the political prisoners here in the United States? I'm asking the question. I'm just asking.
Doug, there's not a good answer to it. I mean, we've got over 600 people that are being denied bail. Some of them have been in jail close to a year now, being completely denied pretrial release, while you've got individuals that are repeat offenders, violent offenders. We saw an incident the other day out in California. That male had been arrested 13 times, drug using, robberies, I mean, home invasions, every 13 times he's been arrested, ends up stabbing to death some college girl out there. Stabs her for no reason at all. Just runs into her and just guts her right in the middle of the parking lot. Just guts her in front of everybody. Walks off. Goes to jail. You've got people now, they're literally jumping on rail cars and looting rail cars as they come into the station in L.A. There's piles of trash from all the items and boxes in USPS and priority mailboxes that are just thrown along the entire train tracks. One of the trains derailed the other day because there's so much stuff. They're literally hitting the railroad tracks and hitting the rail cars, opening them up, stealing everything, open up the packages. If they want it, they keep it. If they don't, they just dump it on the tracks and run off with it. And they interviewed one of the criminals. And he said, there's no consequences. He said, if we actually get caught, which we don't usually get caught, we go to jail, we get charged with like disturbance, we have to pay like a $100 fine, and we're back out in less than 24 hours. He flat out said, there's no consequences. That's going on in LA right now. They've got entire cities of drug users going in, and they just go into stores now. I watched a video the other day, guy walks into a liquor store, walks in, right on the main avenue of LA where they have the stars on the sidewalk, walks in, loads up his backpack, full of liquor, completely full. Puts it on. They're recording. Puts it on. Walks off. Leaves. Total lawlessness. But you got people that walked into the Capitol grounds because they were protesting and being charged with, you know, trespassing. And they're still being denied bail for almost a whole year. But
see,
what is wrong with this picture, Doug?
And here's my question about this, okay? Look, I know L.A. is a different, whole different whatever. But if I had a storefront, and I'm being very honest with you, I'm honest with everyone. If I had a storefront, I don't, but if I did, and it's my family business, and you know, I'm in an area that where I'm just doing business, and I got people coming in and looting my store, okay, I would shoot them with a 12-gauge shotgun. I would shoot them dead. All right? So I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you right now, I would shoot them where they stood. Now, I guarantee you, I'd probably end up in jail, I'm sure. But what else can we do? And I'm asking you, what else can we do? Except if that happens to us, you shoot them. Didn't we used to do that?
State of Florida is a free state. I mean, obviously, if somebody walks in the store and steals a pack of gum, you can't shoot them legally if there's no, you know, threat. But way past that. There's a video the other day of a guy out in L.A., and he's walking around the escalators completely stoned out of his mind, and he's got a bicycle lock, you know, one of the U-shaped bicycle locks, and he's carrying his bicycle, and he's just walking around. You can tell he's just absolutely out of his mind. And this lady starts walking down the escalator, and he starts following her. And she's walking and walking and walking, and he's following her. They're going down the escalator. They get to the bottom, and he just rails her upside the head with a bicycle. Gets on top and starts beating her.
Yeah.
And then there's people walking around just nonchalantly like, oh, I better get out of here. I don't want to get beat too. You kidding me right now? You're watching a violent felony occur, and the first thing you're going to do is, I got to run away. I don't want to get in trouble. And then the officer that responds to the scene is such a moron. He brings an AR-15. They engage this guy. Doesn't possibly think about his backdrop right in front of a changing room.
Oh, yes.
Perpetrator.
Yep.
Hits him three times. The rounds go through him, through the wall, and take out a 14-year-old that's in the changing room and blows her brains out in the changing room.
Right. I heard that. And that could have been handled so much differently. But again, here's my thinking. Now you brought up a good point. Somebody coming in stealing a pack of chewing gum, I get that. But I'm talking about the groups that come in with the hammers, the crowbars, the metal pipes. Yeah. Okay, and I'm also talking too about this. And what does this say about society? When we had in Philadelphia, my state, again, the furthest way you can get in my state is Philadelphia from where I'm at. A guy rapes a woman, and you have a bunch of morons. What do they do? They take out their iPhones and they record the incident. Okay, where are the guys to go out there and kick the living crap out of the guy that's you know, I mean, I'm telling you, I would kick the living, you know, or shoot him, or both, kick him, shoot him, and then shoot him again. Okay, but that's not going to happen. Why isn't this happening here in this country? Why aren't we saying, wait a second, this is not right. We can't allow this, because have you noticed that their behavior has been emboldened by the lack of resistance that they've been given. I don't know. We can't. This can't be. Look, where's Charles Bronson when you need him? I'm just saying.
Death wish, baby.
Yeah.
No, what we've seen now, and it's turned into a stat game. It's a rigged game against us. Obviously, we're all seeing that now, where they're building the criminal base. They're encouraging the criminal behavior. But if law-abiding citizens try to do anything, then we're automatically, you know, branded as terrorists now. You can see how they're building the model. And this all started with political correctness. This is why I'm diametrically opposed to being politically correct. I don't care about people's feelings getting offended if I speak the truth. Now, obviously, I'm not walking around trying to be rude or belittle people. I never do that intentionally. Everybody wants to feel important. But when you start having these loudmouth, pink-haired liberal nightmares and they start screaming at you because you're not wearing a mask, I'm going to give it right back to them. And what happens is now too many American men have been so beat down by political correctness that they don't want to say anything anymore. They don't want to do anything anymore. They would rather just go along with it, not have any problems, and not worry about it because they don't want to have any conflict. Not having conflict is the reason we're in the situation we're in right now, because nobody wants to stand up. I saw a video last night of an 8-year-old little girl, little 8-year-old black girl, being pulled out, walked down with two NYPD officers holding her, both her arms, walking her out of the New York Institute of History. She went to the museum to go walk around. They asked her if she had her COVID passport. She refused and said, no, I've not been injected. I'm not getting injected. I want to go to this museum. This is a New York museum that, you know, basically our taxes, well, I guess you don't really pay taxes, but regardless, that is paid for. And they said, no, you can't go in. She goes, yes, I can. I can go into this museum. And they said, no, we're calling law enforcement on you. And she said, okay, call law enforcement. You know, I'm a little 8-year-old girl. I just want to go to the museum. NYPD picks her up and they arrest her for trespassing. And all these people are walking around, they're recorded, and I'll give them credit, they're being grossly belligerent with law enforcement. I would have been too. It would have been everything I could not hit a cop. And I'm not a big fan of walking around hitting people. But it made me so mad. And seeing this girl, she's in tears as they're loading her up in a paddy wagon like a criminal because they're arresting her. Little girl, I'm talking like Little Bigger Hunter, arresting her for trespassing because she refused to give them their vaccine passport. What world are we living in right now, Doug? At the same time, you have L.A., where people are running around looting, stealing, pillaging anything they want, and it's totally cool. They get out of jail the next day with a slap on the wrist. The same LA that now has multiple transgender tranny books for preschool geared towards ages 3 and 4 years old. Now, I just saw that the other day. Full cross-dresser transgender books now, kids' books, 3 or 4 years old. Full transgender perversion ideology being pushed on kindergartners right in front of everybody. But hey, we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to be politically incorrect. We don't want to make anybody upset. So we're just going to kind of pretend like it's not happening to our children. This is why I'm so adamant with people and I tell them, do what you can to make sure your children are getting a real true education. I know a lot of people have the financial means and the time and the energy. It's a lot of work as far as doing homeschool curriculums and doing co-ops. Lana and I worked diligently to try to figure out what we want to do with our kids. We found a group. We went into it. We help out with a lot. Lana's very active with it. And so they meet multiple times a week at this school. They've actually went on a field trip yesterday. And then we have another group that basically they meet with and they do private teaching like 2-3 days a week. And they're excelling great. And they're actually learning history. And one of the teachers was asking me, she goes, your children are really well behaved, even when Lana's not here. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, thank you. And she goes, what do you guys do? And I said, well, I can tell you a couple of key things. I said, A, when I say something the first time I mean it, if I ask you to go clean your room or ask you to do something, I'm not counting to three. I'm not going to beg you. I'm not a child. I'm not going to try to explain to you why you need to clean your room. You're just going to clean your room. and you're going to show respect to people, and you're not going to sit on iPads and watch TV and be a vidiot all day and day. That's the next thing. I said, that's probably the biggest things we've seen right now as a generation. I said, I've gone out to dinner with friends and we bring our kids. Then the other kids sit at the table all the time with a stinking iPad, drooling on themselves. My kids are over there. Yeah. They got the color tables that they give them, the crayons they give them at the restaurant. They're over there doing crossword puzzles, filling in the blank, doing all this fun stuff. And the other kids are over there are trying to figure out how to not drool on themselves anymore. That is one of the biggest things, in my opinion, that I personally have seen that has caused such a demise in this younger generation. And it's having a massive ripple effect because as these kids are getting older, they're the kids that are getting into the businesses. They're the kids that are getting jobs. They're the kids getting into politics. And they're complete morons. They don't know how to function in society, and all they want is a dopamine trigger all the time, and they can't understand what happens when they're told, no, this isn't normal. This isn't okay. You can't go along with this. This isn't behavior that's acceptable. No, oh my gosh, you can't say that. I'm offended. I'm a girl now. It doesn't matter. I'm a boy. I think I'm a girl. I want to put on a dress, and I want to go to the girls' bathroom. If you would have told people that 50 years ago, they probably would have hung you.
Hell, Austin, you and I, our discussions, and Ted, your dad, our discussions a couple of years ago, remember the Obergefell decision? And I remember having Coach Dave on and you guys on, and we were talking together. And people were saying, well, you got to be tolerant. This is about tolerance. No, it's we have been too tolerant. We have tolerated too much. And we said, you give them an inch, they take a mile. And look what they've done. When I say they, I'm talking about these purple-haired, confused, mentally disabled or mentally perverted people who can't decide whether they're you know, a man, a woman, a boy, girl, whatever. Okay. Enough of this. Enough of this. You know, you talk about settled science. Science is settled. If you're born with male genitalia, you're a boy. Female, you're a girl. End of friggin' story. There's nothing in between. We have to become more intolerant of the perverse. And that's where I'm at. And by the way, in order to become, in my view anyway, if you want to be a thorn in the side of globalists, if you want to make a difference in your world and in your family's world, as well as with your family, make sure you're healthy. Go to healthmasters.com and get on a protocol right now, a regimen right now, using Health Masters. If you're not using Health Masters, you're not taking anything, in my view. Healthmasters.com, it's the place to go. It's the one-stop shop for all of your health needs. Healthmasters.com. Doug5, and the coupon code for the next, day and a half. Take advantage of that. It's 5% off non-saleable items. Healthmasters.com. And while you're there, have a listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Fantastic show. It's where I get my show prep from, along with a couple of other programs, but theirs in particular. And you might have to slow it down to like a quarter speed because there's a lot of information packed into that show. I love that show. So healthmasters.com. But we got about two and a half minutes left. Austin, it's to you, sir.
Well, and to reiterate, you know, and encourage people, you heard this nonsense like you just talked about, you have to be tolerant. Well, the tolerance is total hypocrisy from what they're telling us because they tell us we have to be tolerant of their perversion. We have to be tolerant of their behavior. We have to be tolerant of how they want us to call them 50 different genders. But if I come back and I say, well, guess what, bud? I need you to be tolerant that I don't agree with that behavior. I need you to be tolerant that I'm not going to call you Zer Zim Zimbabwe, whatever you want to be called. I'm just going to call you, hey, bro, hey, ma'am, hey, sir. And that's what it's going to be. However, I recognize you. And you need to be tolerant that I'm diametrically opposed to your perverted beliefs. Then we're on the same page. The problem is, it doesn't go that way. It's you have to be tolerant of all my sick, sadistic perversion, and I don't have to be tolerant of anything from you. And if you say anything to me that I disagree with, it's now a hate crime. What? No, it's not. You're living in fantasy land. It's called the world. It's called the First Amendment. It's called the United States. It's called freedom. It's called speak your mind what you believe. Don't muzzle yourself. Don't mute yourself. If you want to say something, speak it. Stand up for what you believe, Doug. I encourage your listeners.
Brother, that's a great way to end the show. I appreciate your time. I appreciate Health Masters, and I appreciate you and your father out there 5 days a week talking the truth, and I mean that. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good week.
I appreciate you. All right. Folks, that was Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Make sure you go there and make sure that you bone up on your supply of Healthmasters. All right, folks, that'll do it for me. Hey, make sure you tune in to next week. We're rolling out the Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman fundraiser. Boy, watch for that. All right, have a good night. Have a good weekend. God bless.